Well, as you next pull into the petrol bowser to fill up, here's a sobering thought. Australia would run out of fuel and come to a standstill, literally a standstill, within just 3 weeks if there's any major disruption to oil imports. A new report on Australia's liquid fuel security says we need a fuel security plan and also a homegrown alternative fuels industry. The report was commissioned by the NRMA. Its author is retired Air Vice Marshal John Blackburn, who joins me in the breakfast studio. John, good morning. Welcome to breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
3 weeks doesn't seem much of a buffer. It does give us some time. Just describe the problem briefly for us, as you said.
Yes, well, what happens is that we're on the end of a very long supply chain and we're totally dependent, particularly for all our transport fuels, on petrol and diesel. We are reducing the amount of refining capacity we have in this country, so we're going to become more and more dependent on imported fuels. The vulnerabilities of those supply chains, I don't think, have been fully analysed. And as a result, if there is a major catastrophe or a disruption, a regional conflict, we haven't really thought through how do we ensure that we get sufficient fuel to make sure that our society can still function.
Just describe for us, from the work you've done, what would look like if we did run out of fuel, if there was a major disruption after 3 weeks, what would we notice in our lives beyond perhaps not having petrol for the cars?
Well, basically everything works. Food distribution, pharmaceuticals, the normal stock holdings you have in, for example, supermarkets and pharmacies are about a week. And that's fine because it's economically sensible to do so. But that assumes, of course, the fuel keeps coming. If that starts to actually get interrupted, then you'll go to the supermarket, you might be able to find things on the shelf. It's a bit like Sunday night in some of the supermarkets.
Because the trucks won't be able to bring them, or there's no refrigeration to store them.
Well, the trucks won't be able to bring it, basically. And so you won't be able to get to work. The effect it would have on everybody on their day-to-day life is absolutely significant.
So quite dramatic in terms of hospital and pharmacy supplies too, according to your reckoning. How did you work this out?
Well, I went and spoke to people in the industry, and what's happened is because of cost overheads, it makes sense for everybody to reduce the supply chains, thin things down, reduce the stock holdings. So what they're doing is largely a just-in-time delivery. But if people start to panic buy, and you can see that when there's a bit of a natural disaster, then those stock holdings are designed for day-to-day consumption rates, and they're assuming that the transport systems and everything else that allow them to be replenished are going to be there.
3 weeks seems like such a short time. I think most of us would be surprised to really think about this and focus on this and to realise that we are a net oil importer. Just 30 years ago, we were a net oil exporter. What's happened?
Well, our production of oil in this country is reduced, and a lot of the oil that we do actually pull out of the ground is exported because it's a lighter, sweet type of crude that's more suited to different markets overseas. The oil that we actually process in our refineries is a bit of a heavier oil, so we have to import it. But as our production rate comes down over time, we become more and more dependent overseas. And that three-week figure stunned me. The whole reason I started working on this, as I was listening to a lecture from a friend of mine, an attorney general's, about disaster resilience in Australia, and they've done some fantastic work on disaster resilience. And he said, do you realise we've only got 3 weeks worth of fuel? But then I said, hang on, what's this figure about 90 days stock holdings that we're supposed to have that we talk about? And as I started to lift off the lid on this thing, I suddenly realised that we're living in a bit of blissful ignorance.
So we have a National Disaster Resilience Plan, but that doesn't deal with fuel?
National Disaster Resilience does, and it's a great thing. The Attorney General's has done a lot of work in this area, but that's disasters. So if you have a disaster in Queensland, you can bring in fuel from New South Wales, or you can bring it around, and that's great. A national resilience plan needs to look at what happens if things run out in the country and you can't bring it from another part of the country.
What's the scenario you've sort of tested, if you like, gamed in terms of what might go wrong?
Okay, there are only two scenarios that the analysis has looked at. One is a Middle East oil supply interruption, which has happened historically, and the answer they feel to that is that markets have always been able to adjust. The other scenario that's been considered in the Energy White Paper is a 30-day interruption to refining supply in Singapore. Well, our refined fuel supply will be coming from Singapore and a range of Asian refineries. One of the scenarios I haven't looked at, if I take one end of the scale, is a military conflict in the area. I mean, if you look at some of the discussions this week about potential conflicts up in the South China Sea, in the regional area, these scenarios are what would happen in a case where our sea lines of communication or the actual production of fuel in those areas gets interrupted haven't been looked at. So we've got, for example, in this case, $25 billion a year going into defence to cover a low probability but high risk and consequence outcome, yet our fuel supply analysis hasn't even looked at the same scenarios we look at in that area.
Well, you're listening to RN Breakfast. We're speaking with John Blackburn, who's the author of a new report for the NRMA called Australia's Liquid Fuel Security. What would be, in your case, in your mind, the best case scenario? What do other countries do in a country like America, for instance?
What they have strategic oil stock holdings. They're quite significant. So when you look at the International Energy Agency figures of stock holdings, the US, for example, has 174 days of net oil imports, but they have some significant strategic oil reserves. The UK has 268 days. We're supposed to have 90 days of net oil imports. We only have 71. So we are the only member country of the IEA that fails to meet our obligations for stock holdings. So when you think about, okay, we have 71, I initially thought that meant we had 71 days of fuel and oil in the supply chain. We don't. It's actually 23.
So what's the 71?
It's the way they calculate it. They do this calculation of the oil you export, the oil you import, and they divide it by the average consumption. But it doesn't mean it's actually fuel at the bowser.
So we know that the Kurnell refinery in Sydney will be closing by next year. Yeah. We know the Clyde refinery is already closed. We still have six refineries, which sounds like an adequate spread. But what are you suggesting we need to actually carve off some of our gas supplies, as they've done, I think, in Western Australia, for domestic use, to mandate that for domestic use? Is that what the change you want?
Well, what I'm saying is that you can't solve this with one solution. I mean, people said, oh, look, we'll just make sure we've got 90 days of storage. Well, all that means is that 90 days of net oil imports is actually about 28 days of real fuel. It's a strange calculation. That by itself won't fix it. So what we think the answer that needs to be explored is part to do with this resiliency strategy that the government's been talking about. You need to get into depth here and say, how do we diversify the supply sources and how do we diversify the demand? One option with that would be gas to liquids, for example. But right now, when you've got low-cost oil imports sitting there, there's not much motivation to look at those other areas. Mm. Yeah, we're the ninth largest energy producer in the world, yet most of the energy we produce we ship offshore.
Mm. Which we're celebrating.
We're celebrating. Okay, that's money coming in. But can you guarantee that, not for normal just day-to-day activities. I mean, the markets work really well for day-to-day. But if you get an unusual scenario happening, if you get a supply chain failure or a conflict, how do we make sure that we can access that energy which we actually have in Australia to ensure our society continues to function?
So just finally, I'm not sure about this, but my sense is that WA has been insistent about this, but the federal government response has been, we don't need it. It would be counterintuitive for our export earnings and it would force the price of fuel up.
They can say that, but I think WA has taken a pretty sensible move to quarantine part of its supply for domestic use. I look in the gas area, which would be one sort of partial solution to these problems. I'm hearing that by 2015, a large amount of the gas being produced out of Queensland's exported, and that Australian businesses on the East Coast can't get guaranteed contracts to supply gas after they're at an affordable price. So we're going to be sitting there watching this energy depart the country whilst our businesses and our infrastructure becomes more and more fragile. Mm. Look, I'm not an economist, but this doesn't make sense to me.
John Blackburn, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Fran.
John Blackburn is retired Air Vice Marshal and author of a new report for the NRMA called Australia's Liquid Fuel Security. It's quite sobering. It's 6:45 on Breakfast.